Many of you know about my friend John or knew him personally, and I want to begin with his story because I'm writing this paper for him. John was a veteran who experienced homelessness for 13 years. He often sat in front of the Church of Christ Scientist building at 11th and Robinson, curled up in his sleeping bag or sitting in his wheelchair, people watching or reading. John was just about as funny and stubborn as they come, and also one of the strongest people I've ever had the privilege of knowing. In February of 2020, his right foot was amputated due to frostbite, giving him one more thing to laugh about. Early this January, John passed away in his very own apartment after weathering yet another very bitter winter storm on New Year's Day. At his funeral on January 30th of this year, John's whole community showed up. People he used to work with, people who would let him stay in their homes when it got too cold, people who became friends with him on the streets, and people like me who only got to know him for the last year of his life. And this is what relationship is all about. We all walked with John at different times throughout his life, and we were there to honor him in his death. I think every single human being deserves this, no matter their economic or social status. As Alan Graham, the author of Welcome Homeless, puts it, the things that matter the most are the things that need breath. Homelessness is a prominent issue in our state and our city. While the place we live or the places we choose to spend our time may affect how big of an issue it appears to be, we all see people begging at street corners or curled up in sleeping bags on park benches and sidewalks. As Christians in Oklahoma City, we are instructed in Isaiah to bring these people into our homes, clothe them, and share our bread with them. And not just as a group of believers, but as an entire community of Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City's government has recognized that this is an issue and is working to address it through many different ways, such as early intervention and permanent supportive housing for those with disabling conditions. But what must we do as Christians in this community? And why is it important that we do these things? This is our city and our community. We need to become uncomfortable and pursue people. Our neighbors should not be freezing to death. They should not be losing limbs because of the cold or starving on the sidewalks of our city. It is our responsibility as Christians and neighbors to love one another with our whole selves. The church should be at the forefront of building relationships with our homeless neighbors because, like us, they were created in the image of God. Our worth is not rooted in our economic status, but in Christ alone, and relationships are where flourishing is found. In Genesis 1, it is written, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them." God created every individual in his own image. How then do we use this truth to love our neighbor well? Jesus answers this by instructing us to care for the poor, because whatever you do for the least of these, you do for him. Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 25, "And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me.'" And it is written a couple verses later, after the disciples question him as to when he has ever been any of these things to them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." We know that Jesus was born at the bottom of his social hierarchy as a homeless baby, and we still see him even later in his life counting himself equal with the least of these. I think this is an important illustration of what Alan Graham suggests. Everything about Christ's life demonstrated how the true kingdom's hierarchy is upside down, opposite of the world's social structure. Jesus was born homeless to a poor carpenter and holds himself as equal with those who are hungry, naked, sick, and imprisoned. He spends time with the lowest in society, people like the tax collectors, Pharisees, and lepers. Just as this communion with the lowest in society brought glory to God, we too exist for God's glory. He created us in his image to glorify him and embody his kingdom here on earth. But what better way is there to glorify God than to love and care for his creation, to love and care for our fellow image bearers? Ashford and Thomas write in their book entitled The Gospel of Our King, "We are instructed to conduct ourselves honorably so that the world will see our lives and glorify God. Part of glorifying God is bearing witness to his name through our words and works. So, we must love our homeless neighbors who bear his image, like Christ loves us, in order to glorify God." Every individual was created in the image of God, and the highest respect and acknowledgement of this that we can give someone is to know them through relationship with them, because as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. God considers all of his creation equal, and through relationship with our homeless neighbors, we are bringing glory to God. Secondly, our worth is not rooted in our economic status, but in Christ alone. Our humanity and worth comes from something much greater than whether or not we have a home, and that should be recognized and granted to others through our desire to know and be in relationship with them. Loving our neighbor means entering into relationship with the other, knowing that our neighbor's worth is found in Christ, so that there is a mutual exchange of giving up oneself for the other. As a community in the body of Christ, each member must give itself up for the other. Paul describes this for the body of believers in Romans 12, but I think it is also important to apply this principle to our community in Oklahoma City as a whole. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Not every member of our community has the same function, just as not every member of our body does. Often, in our society, we are tempted to treat our social circle as the only ones who contribute to our lives and to the community surrounding us. For example, how often is it that many churches from different denominations come together as one body and work towards one purpose? So often, politics, economics, or social status get in the way of a community like Paul describes in Romans. We see a unique example of an integrated community in our school, as we have a community of people from across many different denominational backgrounds. We support each other, we cheer for each other, we work together, and most importantly, we are in communion with one another. We need to employ this in our day-to-day lives with the people in our broader community, as the passage from Romans states above. Each member of our community, no matter their economic or social status, has a place and purpose in the body of Christ. Relationships are where flourishing is found. There is abundant joy found in life with one another and in communing together in the oneness of Christ's body. As Alan Graham puts it, our lives are threads. The overlapped weavings are where relationships are found. Relationships are where human life flourishes. There is joy found in interpersonal relationships. Communing with people brings life and fulfillment. We are all members of Christ's body, but we must work together as one body, each member loving and being in communion with the other members. And finally, relationships give dignity even in death. Without a community who entered into a relationship with John, he would have died alone, without anyone knowing, and he would not have been given the dignity he deserved in death. Alan Graham writes, "Ask any homeless person what the most difficult part of being homeless is. It's not hunger. It's not sleep deprivation. It's not bug bites or infection. The single most difficult part of being homeless is loneliness. No one knowing your name, the way people look at you, dying on the street and both your life and death going wholly unnoticed." Both your life and death going wholly unnoticed. Can you imagine living out your life? So sorry. No matter the circumstances, and almost the entirety of it going unnoticed. And then, when you pass away, no one notices that either. But John had a community of people who knew him and loved him, and because of that, his life mattered and his death was honored. Even just caring enough to ask someone's name or speak to them more than once means that they did not go by unnoticed in this life. And at least one person will notice when they have passed on. Remember this next time you're sitting at a stoplight next to someone holding a sign for help or walking past the same person you see every day on your way to get coffee. Think about the fact that maybe no one in your community knows their name, and you could be the first. You could be the first to ensure that their life does not go by unnoticed. Many people argue that individuals experiencing homelessness just need to get a job like the rest of society. Yet everyone is homeless for a different reason, and no matter how long it has been or why it has happened, you cannot get a job without an address, and it is almost impossible to get a job if you have not showered in weeks and sometimes months. On a less practical level, Many people who have found themselves homeless struggle with mental illnesses, or this homelessness is the result of trauma early on in life, which has brought on addiction or trauma-induced mental illness. Some of these things are so crippling that basic human functions are impossible or almost impossible. It is indeed inconvenient and uncomfortable to love people in this state. But at what point does another person become worthy of community? When they succeed and end up in the same neighborhood as you, or their kids are at the same school? As Ashford and Thomas demonstrated, we are given clear instructions to let Christ's love for us overflow to the people around us, no matter their social or economic status. When Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself, he simply instructs you to love your neighbor. As a city, we must do better. The individuals who are currently homeless need relationships to flourish. Going into these relationships and friendships, we must remember they were created in the image of God. Their worth is not rooted in their economic status, but in Christ alone, and relationships are where flourishing is found. Jesus hung out with the lowest in society, and he instructs us to do the same. Sit next to the person on the park bench surrounded by his belongings. Introduce yourself to the person you pass every day on your way to work. Bring them their morning cup of coffee. Laugh with them. Mourn with them. Be in communion with them. Be the first to make sure that their life does not go by wholly unnoticed, because the things that matter the most are the things that need breath.